Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great stuff that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Operating Engineers Local 66 and IBEW Local 5, both in the Pittsburgh area. We appreciate their support very much. Joining me by phone today, we've got Dan Duncan, who is with the AFL-CIO in Washington, D.C., in the Maritime Trades Department. Dan, welcome back.
Hey there. Thank you. Good to be back.
Dan, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. You're kind of one of our guys in D.C. I got to ask, what are they putting in the water?
It's certainly not something that I would want to drink. This is especially two blocks away from where I work.
Right.
It is getting interestinger and interestinger, as somebody might say, as to what is happening. And I'm speechless because it's just you say something, you don't know what's going to happen next.
Right, Dan. You know, I am trying to think. I can remember Nixon and Watergate, and I can remember Ron Reagan, Iran-Contra. But I got to tell you, you know, there is something really strange going on here. You know, we know that Ron Reagan dealt with the Iranians before the election. You know, hey, if you guys help, you know, if you hold on to I can beat Carter and then I can do stuff for you. This is even beyond the pale. That's even what I'm seeing is even further than that. Yeah,
Charles, it is just so hard to grasp what is really going on around here. There's so many rumors. There's so many things flying around. It's just very, very difficult to think that, like you, we came through the Watergate era thinking, okay, this happens once in a lifetime, and we're seeing investigations of the White House once again. The sad thing that we're hearing, and in my work through the Maritime Trades, is, of course, we do a lot of work with international unions around the world, is that people are writing off America, saying, you know, it's just not worth dealing with them, let's move on. And you're seeing, it was as evidence at the G20 summit last week, where Trump was standing by himself and the rest of them were dealing with the world's problems.
Right. And this is a problem. You know, Europe, quite honestly, Germany and the rest of the European Union, if they stop dealing with the United States, we've got some real problems.
We do. We do. And again, coming from maritime, where trade is a major, major component of our industry, we just can't be an island among ourselves. That might have worked back in the 1800s or the early 1900s. It doesn't work today.
Do you, Dan, you've been in D.C. for a long time. And you know, obviously there are some serious concerns. I mean, there are some serious concerns. Can the government continue to function to provide the services that they're supposed to provide for Americans despite the difficulties?
Yeah. I am not looking at this as somebody who sees a glass half full. We have many, many, many competent people working in the federal government. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of open spits for presidential appointees and the upper level stuff, but the man and woman who does the day-to-day job, who goes to work every morning and comes back every day to make sure that that Social Security check is mailed or that the VA claim is filed or that the Department of Labor standards are upheld or any of those jobs, there are people who are determined to make sure the federal government works, whether it's here in D.C. or whether it's at a branch out in the community. I have full faith in the workforce, the men and women there, people of AFGE, of AFSCME, of NFFE, and all the others. I know I'm going to forget quite a few of them, but these men and women are dedicated. They're proud that they're working for the government. They're proud to be getting the paycheck from the government, and they're going to make sure the government works.
There you go. There you go. You know, you've mentioned a couple times you're with the Maritime Trades. What What kind of impact is there potentially when it comes to, you know, the shipping back and forth of goods and services? I mean, are we going to start seeing that American flagged ships aren't going to be allowed into foreign ports?
We haven't heard anything like that, and please, we hope not that's the case. But no, we haven't heard anything like that. American flag companies are still sailing on the high seas, still transporting stuff from the United States to parts around the world and bringing stuff back. So, I don't see that on the horizon, and I don't see it coming.
Okay, well, that's encouraging.
The one thing we do have to be prepared for with all the fun we've been seeing in North Korea, though, is I know our sea lift capability has to be ready to just, and please, we hope not, but we've got to be ready in case something does happen over there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't think about. The maritime trades, the unions that represent the members that go to sea, commercial, non-commercial, the crafts.
Right.
They're all unionized. And quite honestly, the military couldn't do the job without their unionized civilian counterparts backing them up and transporting equipment and supplies and so on and so forth, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then right now we're looking at down the road a little bit of a crunch. We're looking to recruit people to come on into the Merchant Marine. The jobs are open and available, and we got our training facilities either through the officers' unions or through the seafarers' union for the unlicensed. So we're here ready, and we've got jobs available. So if people are interested, and we take people from 18 on up, as long as you can meet the Coast Guard requirements, they can go to the seafarers.org website, look up the Paul Hall Center, and get the listings of what's available and what you need to do to come on in.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. And I got to say this, that you guys even represent commercial fishermen, don't you?
We might have a little bit of that left up in Alaska. We don't represent, there's not as much American commercial fishing that's unionized as there once was.
I'm pretty sure Captain Sig of the Northwestern from, you know, the crab fisherman is, I think Captain Sig's in the union.
Could be.
It's either that or SAG-AFTRA.
Okay, but I do know that we've got some lobster fishermen, the machinist got some lobster fishermen up in Maine now.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the other things I think is really neat is, you know, we're here in Pittsburgh. We've got if you listen to football, the confluence of the Ohio River, the Monongahela and the Allegheny Rivers. But we have a lot of barge traffic.
Yes.
And those people are represented.
Probably not.
No.
Not much inland anymore. There's still some, but not as much as it used to be.
I thought they were. See, we're just going to have an organizing drive. Dad, you need to come to Pittsburgh.
We've been working on it. We've been working on it. And you know, for a Clevelander, I would be willing to go to Pittsburgh.
You just had to toss that in, huh?
Oh, you started it, so what can I say?
Okay. Dan, it's always a pleasure. How do we find out more about the maritime trades?
Come to our website, www.maritimetrades.org.
There you go. You're looking for... just like the building trades, you're looking for veterans, aren't you?
Well, we are in the seafarers industry, exactly. And for folks doing that, we've got a program called Military to Maritime. All that can be found at at one of our affiliates, the seafarers.org website, and they can get information there.
There you go. Awesome. We'll talk to you again soon. That was Dan Duncan of the Maritime Trades. He's keeping an eye on things for us in D.C. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.